Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are looking in the rear view at week 14, almost. We've got Sunday Night Football. I hope everything has broken well for you. I know I had a legal pad ready to go with all the things that I needed, didn't need. There wasn't a ton in doubt. I had a couple of buys locked up. I had a couple of that were dependent on things happening. I think one did, one didn't. And then I had a couple of playoff spots that same thing. Actually had one that really broke well for me, which was pretty cool. And then one that I was like sharpshooting like three things that happened, and I think I was getting it in. There's some risk of not getting it at 8-6, but getting it at 7-7, like comfortably. I didn't get in at 8-6 in one league, or was really close to getting it. I think I'm gonna get in, but someone in that league's not gonna get it at 8-6, and a different league I'm gonna get in a bye at 8-6. So it's funny how those things go. You're watching those things and all the goings on. It's a fun watch. So let's do a little of this. We'll look at some of the injury stuff, and then we'll do a relatively quick podcast here today. I say that and it'll be 40 minutes, but we'll do a relatively quick podcast for your Monday. I'll be preparing snap reactions. I'm going to do it a little bit differently. We're looking production right now. We'll look at any changing situations in terms of injuries and all that stuff, guys potentially upticking, right? But I'm almost entirely focused on this stretch run right now in terms of points. Ultimately, at the end of the season, what I'm going to do is I'll do some overview stuff in terms of some of that stuff. Like I got 150 podcasts I want to run off season. We'll do bigger, broader picture stuff. Like some of maybe the last couple weeks or so, it's going to be lineup setting. Then it'll really be like, hey, here's kind of the initial onslaught of stuff that we should do. And then I'll prep some, I'll be announcing AOD 2022 pretty soon, in terms of specifics on that, but I'll cover some of the content as pods, before it comes out or contemporaneous to that. So that'll sort of be some stuff that we'll be focusing on. And I do think a lot of the pods and stuff that, some of the buy candidates, I've been talking a lot about the yards per route run work that we'll be doing and stuff like that. So, I'll have some of that coverage and stuff like that, at the end of the season, sort of ramping into the off season. And get us ahead. And I really think like taking kind of an early sneak peek at some of that stuff can really get an edge, because I think people so quickly turn to, Senior Bowl's here, and then it's the combine and all that stuff, and people are really looking at that stuff, and that's great. But if we can get edges, like I think almost always the best way to get an edge is to zig when everyone else is zagging. And this is one of those situations where really focusing on stuff that can really help us like in the immediate term as good, and then making trades before other people, zag back to thinking more redraft and that stuff in like the later summer. If we're sort of on that landscape, we can sort of, be good. And ultimately a lot of rookie work is needed. But honestly, if you just told me the base rates, we could probably figure it out without knowing much about the other players. That's not what we're going to do. But, I think we do things a little bit differently and focus on things a little bit differently. So I feel confident in that. All right. So that's just a rundown of stuff that we're going to be doing here going forward. I do want to hit some of the injury stuff, some big stuff too. And with the, with the quarterback injuries in particular, Lamar, there's some dispute about what the nature of the injury is, high ankle, low ankle. Not entirely sure with that. Harbaugh seemed to indicate that, just trying to downplay this. I'm not sure. And ultimately, exactly what we're going to see in terms of this injury. And it wasn't like they didn't get a good view of it on camera. So a lot of the injury experts, Dr. Gene, Dr. Chow, some other folks, are unable to sort of give the full assessment because they can't see the mechanism. All right. So we'll be, that's definitely a source of concern. Josh Allen as well. He showed up in a walking boot. He looked like he was banged up, and it was one of those things where I hate to play shrink on these guys, but it was one of those things where I ultimately, like, it you got the impression that when they were talking to Josh Allen and the offense, like, during the week in terms of prepping the game, the announcers were like, you know, are you going to run more? And it was kind of like a not disgruntled, yes, but I guess if I have to, I will, but that's not really what I want to do type of feel to the narrative around that. And so I couldn't tell if it was just the fact that he was like, I don't want to be doing this, but here I am taking a beating to it, or he was actually hurt. But I was like interested to see what was going to happen. And then, of course, he shows up with a walking boot after the game. Allen does. He says they finished the game out, so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. They say it is a foot injury. It's been a toe, foot, or an ankle injury. Not exactly sure what it is. Dr. Jean wasn't too concerned about him missing this week, basically given how he had played and all that stuff. The fact that we don't really know when it happened or what it was gives me a little bit of pause. So I do think if you have Allen or if you're entering the playoffs, I do think making an aggressive play towards Mitch Trubisky makes a lot of sense. I will say another thing in that game, Gabe Davis is if you can throw him into the back end of deals right now, it's really interesting. He is on a absolute tremendous tear in terms of some of his, you know, he scored in terms of some of his data. Really, really interesting. Again, I'm skeptical on these guys, especially on low pedigree guys coming in. I'm really, really quizzical, skeptical, dubious, I guess. You use the adjective. They give me a lot of pause coming in and making a big investment in. But Gabe Davis, 1.95 yards per route run this year. That is amongst the best in the class for guys that from last class. So just to give you an idea, like above him, and it's turning out to be a pretty decent class. KJ Hill, again, it's only nine routes that he did that on, but Jefferson is at 2.7, Lamb's at 2.3, the receiver formerly with the Raiders was at 2.2, 2.1 for Higgins, 2.06 for Judy, 2.06 for Claypool, 1.96 for Pittman, 1.95 for Davis. So, and I'm sure it will go up this week. I don't have a snap count on him or anything like that, or a route count on anything on him. But I would assume that it's going to go north of two, and he was like north of four over the last like month. So really heading in an interesting direction, and you could see, like, I think the easiest cut in maybe the NFL is going to be Cole Beasley this offseason. Like, they'd really gone away from him, and you see Gabe Davis really seeing an uptick. Again, I'm not sure that he ever is going to enter the season as a wide receiver too, but man, again, there's some really compelling and interesting stuff here for where he's at. So I'm really interested in that. Again, the receiving grade's okay. It's just slightly better when you're ranking those guys out of where he is versus the yards per route run. So there's some correlation there for sure. But that's one I think he's really, really interesting here going forward as an uptick guy potentially in this offseason. Okay, so that's just a tangent on the Bills game there, which was like I could go an hour, but I'm not going to. I could go an hour, but I'm definitely not going to. All right, Jalen Hurts, probable for next week as well. Daniel Jones continuing to get some evaluations via neck stuff, neck specialist and his neck injury. It's given me a little bit of pause with him. Like, I hope it's really not, like, career-threatening or anything like that. It didn't sound like it was as an initial thing, but we're obviously hopeful that he's on the mend. Tyler Heinicke was in and out of this game with a knee injury. I think he came in, out. I think his situation is absolutely one to watch. Kyle Allen came in this game and played a bit. So, you know, we'll see here with Heinicke. I think early week will tell. I do think, you know, if you have the room to add Allen, right, and you've got the cash, I mean, do it and sort of guard against it, right? You can't, if you never play him, that's fine. But if you can't take the money with you, you can't take the money with you either. So I do think adding him, and again, that's maybe playing defense in advance. We don't necessarily know what week 16, week 17 are going to bring as we enter week 15. So, again, play some of that preventative defense if we get sort of the idea early week that Heinicke isn't going to be back. All right, some interesting things here. DeAndre Swift for the running back position, I think, is the most notable here. He hasn't practiced since Thanksgiving, and Schefter's reported that he could be heading to IR if he doesn't improve. So if he went next week, that's it. That's all she wrote. So not great in terms of, you know, expecting him to be back. I think we're going to have to see, like, week 15 return, week 16 return. And at that point, do you want to see him, like, back? You know, if you're Detroit, does that make much sense? Like, it kind of has that, like, Kerryon Johnson feel to it, like his second year. Not a great thing. Jamal Williams is probably doubtful for next week as well. So Craig Reynolds is going to be a popular pickup probably this week. Or maybe people disrespect him. We'll see. Dr. Gene did bring up an important thing to keep in mind, that no one has really come back and played within 10 days of the COVID stuff. So there is the ability to do that with the testing and all that stuff, but no one's really done it, vaccinated or unvaccinated. So that's something I think to have a little bit of caution with in terms of some of these things with the COVID stuff this past week, Jamal Williams being one of them, Daryl Henderson being one. Again, they play on Monday night, so we'll see that as well. And then other ones include Myles Gaskin, so that would be a week 15 one. Again, that's, so again, thinking ahead. Salvin Ahmed as well. You know, looking for spot starts in that range. Phillip Lindsay's week to week with an ankle injury. So, you know, Duke Johnson, right, that's been a spot where I've invested a little bit. Mark Ingram as well. So just sort of thinking about these guys, it might be long shots for them to be available in week 15. So just sort of keep that in mind, bear that in mind. Ty Montgomery as well, though that one's not really that interesting or compelling. Got Jalen Richard and his impact on Josh Jacobs as well. All right, some of the other ones here, Elijah Mitchell's in the concussion protocol, so he and there's some knee stuff going on with him. So week 15, week 16, you know, the run game didn't quite do the same as it had been in you know, in prior weeks. Again, how much do we attribute that to Elijah Mitchell's absence specifically? I mean, I'm not going to go that far. They did still run it for 100 yards. It was 56 yards, 13 carries for Jeff Wilson. No Jamichael Hasty work in the running game. 8 for 37 for Debo. Jamichael Hasty went 3 for 10 in the receiving game. So it was definitely the Jeff Wilson show. Debo ran one in as well. But it was pretty uneventful. I want to do a little bit more look in the offseason too about the value of each position by team. And I think one of the things from San Francisco that we'll find is that it's probably not as good of a situation as we ultimately think it is, just because their guys are so minimally involved in the passing game that it can be a more limited situation than we might otherwise think. Notable here, Brandon Ayuk, 6 for 62 and a touchdown on 11 targets. One Debo Samuel target. 13 for 151 and one for Kittle. He is a monster. And if the numbers are right, yeah, 26, 50, yeah, that's basically 50 points in a safe leagues format. Just wild. Wild and crazy. All right. So that's the situation there. Again, getting a little far afield of Elijah Mitchell himself specifically. Again, Damian Harris, I think, is one to watch for next week. Questionable with this hamstring strain. Probably on the doubtful side of questionables. One of the concerning spots there. I think the situation for the Philly running backs is important too, with with Jordan Howard backing up Miles Sanders. Sanders nursing that right ankle injury that's been kind of hassling him, and Howard with those, he's got a right knee injury, and he's more week to week. Sanders more day to day. So that's definitely one I'm a bit concerned about here going forward. Giovanni Bernard also banged up with a hip injury. Probably going to be a multi-week absence is the estimate, at least the early estimate. That's a good sign for Leonard Fournette. Torn plantar fascia for Tony Pollard. There's some debate about whether or not it's actually torn or not torn. There's even further debate about if it's torn or partially torn or fully torn. And those things can make a big difference. So I'm not sure we know the full truth about it or will know the full truth about it. It is absolutely a source of concern. Corey Clement has gotten really rostered on Jordan's rosters recently. So that's one that I've been pretty aggressive on backing up Zeke. David Johnson on COVID as well, so he's one to watch. J.D. McKissick with the concussion protocol as well. This is multi-week now, so definitely on the concerning side of that. Groin injury for Rex Burkhead. Royce Freeman, potential league winner? I mean, crazier things have happened. I don't think it's actually going to be league winner, but you know, I do think he's going to be probably an aggressive guy. You know, this is, again, you can't take the money with you. And this is a case where I think you know can definitely use it. Again, if David Johnson's probably going to be on the doubtful side, it's a spot start for Royce Freeman. And listen, like, I mean, Davis Mills, say what you want. They move the ball a bit. So I don't think they're good, but they can move the ball. And listen, this is against Jacksonville. So Royce Freeman. Let's see it. Let's see it. You know, watch that game be. There was a game a few years ago that's like legendary from a DFS perspective. Some guy won the Millie Maker and he stacked, like, it was when the Rams weren't any good. I think it was maybe like their last season in St. Louis, maybe. This was a while ago now. And it was somebody else who wasn't very good. And he like went full on game stack. And I forget even who the quarterback was, but it was like, you know, second or third string guy went full on game stack. Like 100% exposure to you know, combined exposure to the game in his Millie pool, and like won the Millie Maker because he won that game. Like, watch that be the Jacksonville Houston game where it's an over under of 40, but it's they go for neither, no one can stop anyone. They bring the best out of each other's offenses and go for a ton of points. It would be wild to see. So that's definitely one. Again, Royce Freeman. I'm officially interested. Those are the big ones here. I think that's the big stuff here. Yeah, just check in. Michael Carter is still out with his high ankle sprain. Questionable return for week 15 would sort of be the thing there. So we'll monitor that Jets backfield. And I'm doing full snap reactions for running backs as well this week too. So I'll get you some updated stuff there. Haven't delved full into that data yet. Adam Thielen, again, hopeful for a return next week. We'll see with Keenan Allen with the COVID stuff. The good thing about Keenan Allen was that COVID diagnosis took place on Monday of last week. So you get basically a full two-week recovery for him. So it's not that 10 days. It's closer to 13, 14 days. I mean, hopefully can get in to get some practice as well. That might give you a little bit. Again, we don't know a ton about these, but I will say, like, if you're getting a couple extra days, I think it would definitely be, you know, more. You know, there's a greater chance than sort of pushing the close time limit, I guess, is the easiest way to say that. So then you're less concerned about some conditioning stuff as well. So hopefully Keenan Allen make a week 15 return, get him back in your lineups, I think, for sure when that happens. Terry McLaurin with a concussion. There's some ankle knee concerns for DJ Moore that we'll be watching for. Emmanuel Sanders dealing with a knee injury. And then let's see here. That's pretty much the goings on that happened at the receiver position this week. No real concerns here in terms of COVID or in terms of IR returns for week 15. Will Fuller maybe, but I don't. It doesn't sound great. I'm hoping there wasn't some sort of infection in a second surgery with Will Fuller, because it doesn't. By all accounts, no one thought it would be this long. I hope that he's actually okay. Okay. At the tight end position, I don't have any reason to anything specific on that, but it just it seems it should have happened by now. And if it since it hasn't, I'm gives me some pause. And that there's something we don't know that's actually worse than we thought. All right, the tight end position. I got to watch this Waller situation. Hawkinson, I think, is a potential IR candidate, which isn't a great sign. You know, Joku, maybe we'll get back again. He's sort of pushing that 10 days thing. It's going to be on the early. He'll be I think 12 days post by the next time he plays. So. That's a little bit more doable, probably. Harrison Bryant dealing with a high ankle. Again, Austin Hooper scores this week, so you sort of get that. You know, it was a situation we talked about. It was like, hey, there's some opening there. Austin Hooper stepped up with a good performance. So those are pretty much the injury situation you're going to watch for. Kareem Hunt as well. It looks like it's a high ankle sprain, so we'll watch that one. I don't think I mentioned him before. And Eckler, an ankle as well. And there's some thought that maybe he banged up a previously existing ankle injury that was more of an aggravation. So we'll see there. Those are definitely concerns to watch. I think I mentioned Eckler, but I do retouch on that one. But the Hunt one, I don't think we have. Dearness Johnson, aggressive bid here. I do think Dearness Johnson from the perspective of he could be the injury away guy. And one thing I do think at this point in the season, even if you're not competing, I like to think in terms of the let's think of the Rams situation last year, which was, all right, they had Cam Akers, they had Daryl Henderson, both guys got hurt, and all of a sudden it was Xavier Jones and Jake Funk being injury away guys. Well, it was really before, I guess, Daryl Henderson got hurt, it was those guys being injury away guys. There are situations like this right now that could absolutely be injury away guys, whether or not it's for maybe a moment in time. For example, if Jamal Williams were somehow to get cut from Detroit, you know, I don't think they owe him any. You know, I don't think he's going to get cut, but they don't owe him a ton of money. And if they wanted to sort of move on, they could. Guy like Godwin and Grubuki or Jamar Jefferson or Craig Reynolds, these guys could be on the radar of being injury away guys. Like the next year's Xavier Jones or Jake Funks, right? Those types of beneficiaries. You know, and so looking at other ones as well, you know, Dearness Johnson's like right there for me in terms of all of that. So I just think, again, thinking in those lines, I mean, even a Jeff Wilson, for example, like it wouldn't be an unreasonable guess for that to be the case, right? For, you know, if something happens to Elijah Mitchell or whatever, like there's not a ton of commitment there. Again, that's one I think it's probably less likely given the fact you got Sermon and you've got moving pieces, but you sort of get the idea. Like, even though they're running back threes right now, like if something changes and there's an injury, there's a lot of change in the offseason. So, heck, there's suspensions, you know, all of those things could potentially create beneficial situations. So even if you're not in a spot where you're competitive right now, keep churning the back end of that roster. And if the waiver wire isn't closed to you right now, then don't act like it's closed. Keep playing it out and keep trying to find small sources of value wherever you can. And again, that includes using IR. You know, make sure your taxi's full if you can still make those moves. Make sure you're doing all of those things to amplify it. I mean, I'm in a 35-man roster with it's got seven taxi squad players and a bunch of IR. I mean, I might be carrying 50 some odd guys, and it's like low bat IR guys, but we'll see. You know what I mean? Like at one point I was carrying Marquez Stevenson. It actually locked out my roster the way the Bills fell that week. It was a it created an issue. Fortunately, I'd set everything early on. It didn't really matter, but I had gotten like an early lock, and I was like, wait a second, hold on. I think they were on Thursday. It might have been Thanksgiving week, or they were on Thursday, something like that, and it caused me problems later in the week. All of those things, keep churning them. Keep churning those roster spots. Keep maximizing all the advantages you can get. You know, all your players on taxi if you can still put them there. All, you know, max out your IRs if you can, right? Do all of those things, and it can help you, right? Just taking more shots. Again, even if it's 1 or 2% bets, right? If you're taking 5 more of them, if you do that each year, it's going to add up, and eventually you'll get some difference-making guys. Even if it's not this year, it's sometime in the future. It's a consistent edge that you have. So, all right, well, I'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.